My guest at this time is Federal Communications Commissioner Brendan Carr. On Thursday, he was one of three FCC commissioners to approve a plan reversing most of the net neutrality provisions approved by the commission just 2 years ago. The pursuit of this policy and Thursday's vote have sparked heated debate, insults, and even some veiled threats. So what does the decision actually mean for freedom, for our internet bill, and what should we make of the hostility and criticism that has surrounded this debate? Now, Commissioner Carr, thanks very much for your time today. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
We'll get to some of the specifics I just mentioned in a moment, but let's start with the big picture. You knew for weeks, probably months, that there'd be a lot of heat that you and your fellow commissioners would be taking for this vote. Why was it so important for you, for the chairman, and then at least one other commissioner to advance this right now?
That's a good point. You know, this is an issue where it's the intersection of the government and the internet. And this is something that people are pretty fired up about, and I get it. You know, Americans cherish the free and open internet. They don't want to see the FCC doing anything to undermine that. The vote we took yesterday doesn't do that. We return back to the 2015 regulatory framework, and we make sure there's consumer protections in place. I think it was necessary for us to do it because we were starting to see some real harms under the 2015 Title II rules. Investment was declining, broadband deployments were being put on hold, and innovative new offerings that consumers would benefit from were being kept on the shelf.
There's a lot of conventional wisdom about what this does and what it doesn't do, and you explained why you voted for the policy that passed on Thursday. Jimmy Kimmel has spoken out about this. He's spoken out about a lot of issues in recent days and weeks, and here's what he had to say about net neutrality. Here's the first of two clips we're actually going to have about what he said on Thursday night, and I'll get your reaction to how closely it squares with reality.
Meanwhile, the Federal Communications Commission, the FCC, did something absolutely despicable today. They voted to put an end to net neutrality. Now, this is the rule that says everyone gets equal access to the internet. A big company or somebody selling crocheted owls from their house in the Midwest. Now, as long as they tell us they're doing it now, internet service providers will be allowed to slow down or block web traffic to any website or streaming service they like, which benefits the big telecom companies and does the opposite for all of us.
How accurate is his understanding of the issue?
Unfortunately, not very accurate. So there's a lot of myths in there to bust. I'll start with this one. Where he ended there was saying that all of this, what he would say bad stuff, can happen now as long as providers disclose it. That's not true. That's what the law was under Title II. Title II said that a broadband provider could block websites, could throttle traffic, could do paid prioritization as long as they disclosed it to their customers. What we're doing is we're going back to the 2015 framework, and the key is it's not going to be a free-for-all. The Federal Trade Commission, federal antitrust law is going to apply, and it's going to regulate the type of hypothetical harms that we heard him talking about. So, again, I'd be very concerned if we were turning the reins over the internet completely to ISPs to let them dictate your online experience. That's simply not what we're doing. But I understand why people that perceive that we're doing that are pretty fired up about it.
So just talk about that a little bit more. Is it true at all that there's going to be the opportunity for these ISPs to arbitrarily block or slow streaming? And is that different than it is now?
Our decision does not change the law with respect to the legality of those practices. We're not seeing it today, and it's not because Title II was in place. We're not seeing it today because of market forces and because of what consumers demand. To the extent that it does arise in the future, we have the Federal Trade Commission, we have the Sherman Act. All of these things would apply if ISPs started entering into agreements that were anti-competitive of the sort that people have been talking about.
Let's talk about competition in a different way, because there's also a lot of chatter out there. I've seen a lot of tweets about this, about ISPs supposedly being able to charge extra for services that are currently already baked into our bill. In other words, $15 a month to go on Twitter or Facebook or all sorts of other things. So what impact will this have on how much we pay?
Yeah, this is another one of those great myths that's out there. Again, under Title II, ISPs were free to offer what we called at the commission then a curated internet experience, which was charging you, you know, set fees for access to certain parts of the internet. Again, repealing Title II did not change the law with respect to that. And again, we're going to have strong consumer protections in place enforced by the nation's premier consumer protection agency, the FTC, that can step in if we see harms to consumers.
How are we getting so much wrong information on this?
I think why people are getting so much wrong information about this is because it's a very technical issue at the FCC at the end of the day. Is this a Title II service? Is it a Title I service? It really doesn't get any more wonky than that. And I think people are trying to characterize this and pitch it in a way that the mass audiences will understand it. And that's resulting in some hyperbole that is really apocalyptic, that is not reflective of the reality of what we're doing.
You mentioned Title II a little bit earlier this month when we spoke, but for folks who didn't hear that conversation, when you talk about Title I and Title II, explain what that refers to.
Sure. So the Communications Act has a number of titles, and two that are relevant here is Title II and Title I. Title II is what applies to your traditional landline, for instance, telephone service. Title I, up until 2015, is a lighter regulatory framework designed for what we call information services. That's what the Internet was, and that's what the Internet is again after our decision. And essentially, the Internet functions as a definitional matter, as a technical matter, very different than the traditional telephone network. There's a lot more information processing capabilities that goes on. It's not just a pure transmission pipe that you get with a Title II telecom service or with traditional utility services. And so at the FCC, we're charged with saying, is the Internet a Title II service? Does it look like a traditional telephone network? Or is it a Title I information service? In 2015, they categorized it as a Title II service for the first time. And yesterday, we reclassified it as a Title I service, which is where it was before.
Let me ask you a question from the perspective that you have had on this debate, that a lot of supporters of what you did have said, and that's that we're going to see more innovation. You explained in our last conversation that some of these ISPs are putting their resources and their plans on the sidelines because the government was telling them what to do with their own property, and that it didn't give them a lot of incentive to innovate. And so they're saying that by reversing this, we're not going to see things get worse. In fact, what would have happened is things would have stayed the same. Now things will actually get better. Is that an accurate assessment?
I think that's exactly right. So we heard from dozens and dozens of smaller broadband providers that are trying to either serve consumers in rural and other parts of the country for the first time, or enter markets in competition with the big ISPs, the Verizons, the Comcasts, the AT&Ts. What we were hearing from those smaller, most competitive providers was that Title II was holding them back. It was hard for them to get capital invested in their companies. They were pulling back on deployments that could have provided services. So removing the overhang of Title II is going to make it easier for those smaller guys to compete. That's what's going to benefit consumers at the end of the day, is increased competition.
I've also seen, Commissioner, and this is, again, probably more from your side of the debate than the other side of the debate, that this boils down to whether you trust the federal government or private industry to make the Internet as user-friendly and as accessible as possible. Is it that simple or not?
That's about right, but I would go a little further. I wouldn't say this is about trust. If you can remember back to 2015, you know, the Internet was flourishing. Consumers were benefiting. You could go to any website you wanted. So by going back to that framework, it's not a trust us or a trust the ISP environment. It's a world in which we know it works. But to your broader point, yes, it's getting the government out of micromanaging the way the Internet worked and getting it back into the hands of the engineers, the economists, the people that have deployed these networks that render the Internet the success story that it was.
We're talking with FCC Commissioner Brendan Carr. And, sir, we've talked about kind of the argument from the other side that they believe, and you've explained why you think it's incorrect, that essentially their argument is this is a big giveaway to the telecom giants and the little guys get hurt. But in addition to arguing the policy, it's gotten very personal. You and I talked last time about arguments that brought out the identities of the chairman's small children. And here's Kimmel last night with his parting shot on this.
I just want to say thank you, President Trump. Thanks to you and this jackhole you appointed to run the FCC, big corporations are about to take full control of the Internet. So Merry Christmas, everybody.
What's been the personal toll for the chairman, as far as you can tell? Because I saw yesterday somebody put his home address out there on Twitter. And for you and for the other commissioner who voted in favor of this.
Yeah. Look, there's a lot of passion. I get that. But the vitriol that we're seeing certainly crosses the line. Our meeting was interrupted yesterday with a bomb threat. There's been, you know, racist and other attacks. There's been death threats against commissioners. And look, people can strongly disagree about the merits of this issue, and they should. And we should have a vigorous debate. But when you dehumanize people and call them jackholes and shills, that doesn't advance the debate in a substantive way. And I think it gives cover for people who then go further with these racist attacks and these death threat attacks. But look, plenty of room for reasonable people to think, is this a Title I service? Is it a Title II service? But there's no need for us to go beyond that.
One of the things we've heard about, and I think you might have mentioned this last time, is that perhaps it wasn't the FCC's job 2 years ago to make this change. It should have been up to Congress if the law and the policy was going to change. Is that one of the reasons why this happened? Should this be in the lap of Congress, or is that the proper posture of the FCC to make this determination about whether Title II applies?
Well, we need to make the threshold determination, as you note, from Title I to Title II, but I'd certainly welcome Congress stepping in and taking action. We've got a Supreme Court decision called Brand X from 2005 that upheld the FCC's Title I classification, which is what we're going back to. Last year, there was a lower court, D.C. Court of Appeals decision that upheld the 2015 decision that it's a Title II service. In both of those cases, the common denominator is the court saying that Congress hasn't spoken directly or clearly to this issue, and so the agency, in this case the FCC, has a lot of deference. I think when it comes to a question as fundamental as the regulation of the internet, that should be something that Congress, the people's elected representatives, has spoken to in a way that the courts would say Congress has spoken clearly to it. So yeah, I would welcome a specific legislative approach to this issue.
Last question in two parts. How concerned are you about the imminent legal challenges to this? And unless a court steps in, when does this new policy take effect?
Yeah, no, I'm not concerned about the legal challenges at all. Again, the Supreme Court has already looked at this issue and blessed the FCC's 2002 decision, which classified it as a Title I service. In terms of when these rules will go into effect, there's some additional process that we run here in Washington. There's the Office of Management and Budget that has to look at our decision, and once they review it and sign off on the information collection portion of it, it then gets published in the Federal Register. So I think we're talking in the order of months, not days or weeks.
Very good. Mr. Commissioner, thanks very much for your time today. We appreciate it, and have a wonderful Christmas and holiday season.
Appreciate it. Thanks very much.
Brendan Carr is a commissioner with the Federal Communications Commission. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.